Okay.
So welcome, Lynn. I'm really happy to be here at Christie Walk, where I live on Kaurna country, to talk to you about your life history. I think you've had a fairly amazing life, and it would be really good to hear about it.
Well, I can probably fill up many podcasts, but when we were chatting, I realised that truth is stranger than fiction, and some of my stories of my parents and grandparents were of interest to future generations. But I wanted to begin with an apology to the Indigenous people. They've been here for up to 60,000 years, and my story is a white fella's history, so I'll make that point. Now, my name's Lynn Longo, but my single name was Klopp, K-L-O-P-P, at school known as Clippity Klopp, Plip Plop, Sloppy Poppy, all of those names. And then I married a Longo, Drongo, Pongo, Congo, etc.
So where does Klopp come from?
Klopp's German, and when we were travelling in Europe, we discovered there was a Klopp Castle along the Rhine. Now a wreck, I think, just a pile of rubble.
And that would have been your rubble. Ancestors.
Well, maybe. Klopp might be a really common name. Yeah. I don't know just how. There were certainly no signs of aristocracy in my parents' generation. Now, my father's male line, they were pioneers in the York Peninsula area. My grandfather was part of a large family, but he was the only one to have any children. That will be pertinent later. My mother was of English heritage from a poor working class family. When her mother, Elsie, became pregnant with her third child, no contraception in those days, and they couldn't afford it, her father administered the knitting needles and caused an abortion, but unfortunately his wife got septicemia and died. Now, mum at that stage was about three, maybe three and a half, and her brother was 18 months younger. And dad had to work, so they were looked after by my auntie Hilda, who was her mum's sister, maiden auntie, and she lived at Ashton in the Adelaide Hills. Now, Auntie Hilda, after whom my mother was named, was salt of the earth, the most beautiful person you could imagine. She would have been about 4'11" in heels, and she worked for a family who had a fruit and vegetable block up at Ashton in the Adelaide Hills, and we always said that she was made for the job because picking peas, she was so close to the ground that she didn't have to bend much. And she lived in a little cottage that was part of the orchardist's property. I think she probably paid a little bit of peppercorn rent. It had no running water and no electricity until much later.
Wow.
So Mum grew up with cooking on the open fire. Auntie Hilda would warm up some water and put it in a basin and take it out the back, and they'd do the dishes there. All these very simple ways of life that they just enjoyed, really.
Were there any repercussions for the abortion?
No, none whatsoever. I think it was possibly quite common.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Horrific, isn't it? I didn't even learn of it until I was an adult, so I was shocked to the core. But Mum gained all her attitudes to life from Auntie Hilda, who was full of the sayings and the little cliches and just a wonderful person who loved the children as though they were her own. And just spent quality time. Mum used to play Quidditch. No, that's the modern game. A game where you have these little pegs that you move. Cribbage. That's it. Not Quidditch. Cribbage.
That's Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly. And just spend time talking and enjoying the garden. It was a really lovely 8 years that she spent with Auntie Hilda. They lived at the top of a really steep hill, and in winter the fog would descend, and Mum said sometimes you couldn't see the road and you'd have to feel your way. And she also had this story, was always full of these stories of the local area, because they were all very close, that that Sir Thomas Playford lived up there before he was Sir Thomas. And he occasionally would drive past in his fancy black car and pick him up, take him to school. Mum thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So how did Auntie Hilda live? Like, well, what was her income?
She was paid to do the picking peas and whatever other vegetables.
And did she own the little property?
No, she didn't. Never owned it.
No?
Yeah.
But just allowed to rent it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And the fellow that she worked for and who owned the property had two children of his own that Mum and Uncle Max grew up with. And then a bit later on, his name was Wilf, his wife got cancer and died. And Auntie Hilda took on his two children and pretty much brought them up too. So she was a pretty special lady.
Yeah. And did you know her?
Oh, yes, yes. We used to go there all the time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, very warm and welcoming. And she was... We were impressed that in all her life, she had never travelled outside of South Australia, and the furthest she got away from Ashton was a couple of times when she visited my parents on their farm south of Maitland.
Wow.
Mm.
In all her life?
All her life, yeah.
That's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's all that she needed. Oh, her brother also lived with her. He never married and had diabetes, and so she nursed him and looked after him. So, yeah, very remarkable. A hero, really, we would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Now, when my grandfather remarried, I think he married a housekeeper, never saw any physical affection between the two of them, and she was a real tartar. She kept Mum clean and well-fed, but no love. She preferred boys, so Uncle Max got a bit of affection that she would dole out. And later years, when the grandchildren, would come to visit, she was not very welcoming or warm, and the house was dark and heavy and closed in. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't have very positive memories of her. Mum's single name was Beaumont, and her name was Bessie Beatrice. Oh. Isn't that a cartoon name?
Absolutely.
Bessie Beatrice Beaumont.
It's very grand.
Yeah. Now, I would say that Mum was the wonderful, giving, loving human being that she was because of Auntie Hilda, not because of her stepmother.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she, in her quiet, gentle way, she was a huge influence on Mum. Another story that Mum used to tell about life at Ashton, there was a family whose surname, a bit unfortunate, was Schitz, German name. And Auntie Hilda apparently used to say, there's Mrs. Schitz and all the little turds. That just gives you the flavour of the person that she was.
Where did she meet your dad?
Well, Dad was trainee dental mechanic. I'm not sure where they came across each other, because in those days, you know, chaperones and things. But they got together when Mum was quite young, about 17 and a half, 18, and Dad would ride his push bike from Glenelg, where he lived, to Goodwood, where they lived, to do the courting. And they were married when Mum was 19, and yeah, off they went. Now, Mum did really well at school. In fact, in Year 7, she was Ducks of the school.
Wow.
But that counted for nothing in Bessie Beatrice Beaumont's world. You got to go out and get a job.
Yeah.
So she was dragged out of school against all the beggings and pleadings from the school, who could see her learning potential, to go into retail. And she talks of, you know, working in shops, selling stuff. So I think, you know, life was pretty tough and not too much affection there.
So she ended up living with father and stepmother, not with Auntie Hilda.
No, when Grandpa remarried, Mum was about 12. So, like I said, married a housekeeper, and her job was to look after Grandpa and look after his kids.
Yeah.
Which she did to the best of her ability. Yeah. So when Mum was 19, at that stage Dad had completed his dental mechanic course and was employed at Maitland in the dental surgery there. And in fact,
what's a dental mechanic?
The teeth. Make teeth.
Made teeth?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mum died with the set of dentures in her mouth that Dad made for her when they were first married.
Wow.
So he was very good.
Have their teeth out, didn't they?
Yes, they did. She did. At 19, all your teeth pulled out and she had dentures top and bottom. That's the way it was done. Yeah.
Yeah, my mother did too. Mm.
So for the first few years of their married life, they lived in Maitland, and Dad worked as a dental mechanic in the dental practice. And my middle name is Jean, and apparently I was named after the dentist's wife.
Okay, yeah.
Now, the dentist, as a little aside, was known by us kids as the Butcher of Maitland, because going to the dentist was equivalent to being tortured by Al-Qaeda. No painkillers whatsoever, and no, let's get ready for this, just straight in drill and you yell. It was terrifying. But Dad and him got on really well. But when I was about 3 or 4, the uncles who were working the farm we later lived on, died very close together. And because they didn't have any children, my father and his brother George inherited the farm.
Oh.
Now, this sounds fantastic, but the farm was not really big enough for two families and very run down. And it was still just post-pioneer time, so lots and lots of work to do. But Dad took it on, and I always think if he'd stayed as a dental mechanic, I may have had a much more privileged life. There's much more money in dentistry today, at least, than farming. Anyway, we moved, and we lived in this extremely basic house. I remember the washing machine agitated, and that was all. And then it had this mangle that you put the clothes through and turn the handle to dry them out. And it's in the middle of the Mallee scrub. And we didn't have electricity like we have today, but they had some sort of device generated electricity. But it was pretty basic, and you went to bed early because the
light. What sort of farm was it?
A mixed farm, mostly wheat and barley, but sheep. And at that stage, we had some cows as well. Yeah.
And did you have to milk them?
Yes. Now, this is my poor mum, the city slicker, suddenly at 19 thrust into, first of all, the small town mentality, which she coped with, and then on the farm. Must have been a huge learning curve for her. But she did. She milked the cows, and she'd often have tales of stupid cow kicking the bucket over. And as I remember in the early days, you'd put all the milk in these big churns and take them to the nearest road, and a truck would come by and collect them. And that's, you know, no pasteurising in those days, yeah, and yeah, was part of the income. And we had a separator that you put the milk in, and it separated the cream and the milk. I remember that being a job that we kids had to do, of turning the handle.
And would you eat it? Or
oh, yes, 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 we ate it. And Mum would make homemade butter. I remember that process as well. So a very, very simple life.
Yeah, and that would have all been done by hand almost?
Yes, everything done by hand. We had a cooling safe because there was no power to run refrigerators until much later. But it was an idyllic childhood just the same.
Yeah.
Perhaps not for Mum and Dad, because it was tough.
Yeah.
But in the early days, prices were good, and I think the farm was making quite a good living. Later on, not so much, but in those early days, it was quite the place to be, and Dad would have thought it was a good decision.
And where did you go to school?
Maitland Area School.
Yeah. And did you walk there?
Well, by the time I went to school, let me think. The bus would come around, the school bus, and we had to walk about a kilometre down to a pick-up point, and the bus would collect us from there. And the bus was ancient, ramshackle, yeah, run down, let's not waste money fixing these things up. So we kids were always, fingers crossed, there'd be a breakdown on the way to school. It was always on the way home.
And what would happen when there was a breakdown?
Oh, you hung around until they got somebody from Maitland to come and fix it. Could be hours.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why you wanted it to be on the way to school.
Yeah.
And I remember, fortunately, it was after the final drop-off, something had gone wrong with the bus and the steering came adrift, and he ended up in one of the local farmers' dams. Oh. That was fairly dramatic for you know, talking point for all the community.
Were you on the bus?
No, it was after the final drop-off. We were always pissed off that we hadn't been on the bus when that happened. I've said that. All right, so the farm was in an area called Sandylands, which was 15 kilometres south of Maitland. And Dad and his Uncle George share farmed, and a small fraction of the proceeds were divvied up each year for the three sisters. No, we definitely can't have equity in families. The girls get a pittance and the boys get everything else. But
did the boys inherit the farm?
Yes. Yes, George, and my father's name was John. Yep, they inherited it lock, stock and barrel, and the girls got a few percent of the proceeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I said the first house was pretty basic, and then we moved to the other side of the property to a slightly less basic house that did have a few more mod cons. And
were there people living there when you first?
I don't think there was any. Look, I guess the uncles would have lived there, but they were bachelors, so it was pretty rudimentary. Mm. Yeah. I always felt for Mum, the city slicker, having to learn all these things, and I felt for my father too, who really was not designed for farm life. Every 3 or 4 months, it was his job to kill one of the sheep for the family table, and he hated it. When I look back as the adult, I think, you poor bugger.
Yeah.
He'd be sick. Every time he killed it, he'd go and vomit somewhere because it must have been something he dreaded.
Yeah.
But us callous children, we just enjoyed the meat and didn't think anything of it. Yeah, poor Dad. Mum's job really was to manage things like collecting the eggs and managing the chooks and the chickens and feeding us kids and keeping a good house. And when we had workers that would come, like the shearers that would come to do the sheep, it was her job to feed them. And we liked it when shearers and other people came because good you got food. The good food. I remember Mum used to make this fruit, this dessert called pineapple fluff that was delicious, but we only ever got it when we had visitors. Yes.
Did she maintain her love of learning?
That is a really, not until she was, until Dad was dead, really. She always felt inferior. And when we kids had homework problems, she'd always direct us to Dad because she felt dumb.
Oh.
Really sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Dad, I'm a chip off the old block, Dad's idea of doing paperwork was chuck it in the desk and hope that it disappears.
Yeah.
My method. Mum would have been perfect at looking after the books. She was systematic, organised, had a good head for numbers, but no, that's not how it works. Toots, I'm the head of the family, I do all those jobs and all that worrying, that's my job, you just look after the house and kids. And I think it was really sad.
Yes. Mm-hmm.